Good evening, everyone. I'm very excited to be able to get into God's Word with you tonight and to share what's been on my heart. Before I do that, I want to thank Pastor Hunter for giving me the opportunity to come up and do this, and thank him for the level of trust he has with that. And this message tonight is to the believer. This message is to the born-again child of God. And the title of my message tonight is The Discipline of the Lord. The Discipline of the Lord. You know, when I was thinking a couple weeks ago what I was going to preach about, what I was going to teach about, I had a real problem. You see, I had three messages prepared for a night exactly like tonight, and I just didn't have peace about preaching any of them. And so I was like, Lord, what do you want me to preach tonight? And I started going into some of my junior church lessons. And immediately God gave me peace about this message. And I was like, really? You know, this is a lesson for children. Is it going to have enough meat? Is it going to have enough substance for the adults? But that's when God taught me two valuable things. The first is that while God's word is deep, it's a blessing that it's simple enough for a child to understand. Amen. And the second thing he taught me was that the audience hasn't really changed. Tonight, it's still a message to children, specifically the child of God. Amen. So with that, let's get into God's word. Tonight's text is going to be Proverbs chapter 3. Verses 11 and 12. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 11 and 12. The Bible says, My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. Let's read that one more time. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. From this text, I see three applications on how we should respond to and how we should understand the discipline of the Lord. The first is that we should not despise his discipline. The second is that we should not be weary of his discipline. And the third point, the third thing that this passage tells us is that we should understand that God corrects us with the love of a father. Amen. The first thing the Bible tells us, the first thing that Proverbs 3 verse 11 and 12 tells us is that we should not despise the discipline of the Lord. The word despise literally means to reject and to refuse. It means to loathe. And, you know, Solomon would not have wrote, My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, if we as humans didn't have the capability to despise chastening. I think it's a common thing for people to not like being corrected. And I think it's very possible, especially in the Christian's life, to not like necessarily being disciplined by the Lord. Really quick, I'm going to get right back to this, but I want to look at the mediums, the different avenues that God can correct us through. You know, God can correct us one of two ways. He can correct us through his word, or he can correct us and discipline us through his hand. You know, God's discipline can literally come from God's word. You know, if let's say you're out of step with God, you're far away from God, and you open God's word and you look in it, you know, God's word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And if you're on the wrong path, God's word has the correcting power to show you the way to get back right with God. God can correct us through his word. He can also correct us through the rebuke of a brother. You know, I'm thankful for the men of God in my life that have come to me when they've seen me out of step with God and they've told me that I'm wrong. I'm thankful for that. And God can use a Christian brother's words as a medium of correction to bring us closer to you, to bring us closer to God. He can also use the prick of a sermon or a lesson, and that's God's word. But when we reject God's word, eventually God is going to stop using his word, and he's going to use his hand. He's going to use his hand of correction, and that's allowing things to come into our life that shake us up, and allowing things to come into our life to get our attention. And you don't want to get to that point. You don't want to get to that point. So we see these two avenues, being corrected by God's word and being corrected by God's hand, and being corrected by either of them, we can still, as humans, have a spirit of rejecting it and refusing it because it's not pleasant. If you could, please go with me to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11. I'm sorry, we're going to be in Hebrews a little bit. There's going to be a couple other passages in Hebrews, so you could keep your finger there. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11 says, "Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby." Not exercised. Exercised thereby. Nothing about receiving discipline from God is gonna feel nice. It's gonna feel pleasant. It's made to get our attention and bring us back to God. You know, we can have a right spirit and a wrong spirit about it. You know, we as Christians, when we're receiving it, we should receive it with a sober and an understanding spirit rather than a rejecting and a rebellious spirit. If you want to see a correct spirit and attitude while receiving the discipline from God, look at what David has to say in Psalms 119, verses 75 and 76. I'll just read it. It says, "I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. Let, I pray thee, thy merciful kindness be my comfort according to thy word unto thy servant." David is saying, God, you in your faithfulness have afflicted me. The word afflicted literally means to chasten or to deal hardly with. So David did something, and David was either disobedient or he was out of step with God. And God had to deal with him. And David's spirit was right. David said, "I'm wrong, you're right, I realize this, and you have my attention." That's the type of spirit we should have when receiving discipline from the Lord, rather than a spirit of rejection and refusal. Second point tonight. Not only should we not despise the discipline of the Lord, but we should not grow weary of the discipline of the Lord. And again, this all has to do with having the appropriate response to God's discipline. You know, people who know me well know that I enjoy fighting. I enjoy mixed martial arts. Not everyone likes it. I do. I enjoy the competition. I enjoy learning how to defend myself. All that good stuff. And it was in my first jiu-jitsu class that I learned the difference between pain and injury. And trust me, it relates to the lesson. It was my first jiu-jitsu class. And jiu-jitsu, for those of you that don't know, it's basically grappling. It's like wrestling, but you don't go until someone gets pinned down. You keep going until someone taps out or gives up. So I don't know why it was my first class and they made me fight someone, but they did. And I went up against an opponent, and all of a sudden, the guy got me in a headlock. There's nothing wrong with a headlock. It doesn't hurt. You're just in a headlock, and you can't move. Well, everything was fine and dandy until he grabbed my head and he started to crank my neck. Now, a neck crank hurts really bad. So me not knowing what to do and me focusing on that pain I had in my neck. By the way, but despite what you might think, you can't really get injured from a neck crank, but it hurts a lot. So what I did immediately is I tapped out. I gave up. That was a mistake because immediately the instructor stopped the class, told everyone except for me to sit down, and he made a public example out of me. And he said, "Turner, now why did you just tap out?" And I was like, "Because it hurt. It hurt really bad." And he said, you don't tap out because something hurts. There's difference between pain and injury. You use pain as a motivator. You use it as a catalyst. You use it as something that lets you know that you need to change your position, that you need to move. Okay. So many Christians are not responding to God's word, and they're letting it get to the point where God's having to use their hand. And then when they're receiving God's hand, they're so focused on what's coming, they're so focused on the discipline that they're receiving that they keep getting pushed and pushed and pushed, and they're not responding. They're not changing their position. The Revelation 3:19 says this: "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent." The word repent literally means to change your heart, change your mind, and to go a different direction, to change your position. So many Christians nowadays are receiving that discipline, that pain that's being allowed into their lives, and they're not responding to it. They're not changing their position. They're tapping out and giving up, and they're being pushed off, and the world is swallowing them up. You know, when you receive discipline from the Lord, don't just not respond to it. Repent. Repent and change your position to a position of fellowship with God. Isaiah, you don't have to, most of you know this verse, Isaiah 40:31. It says, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." The second point is, don't be weary of his discipline. And if you're in a position where you're waiting upon the Lord, you're in a position where your focus is on him, and there's a close oneness with him. And the Bible says that they shall run and not be weary. There is no weariness in the place of having your focus on the Lord. Amen. If the Lord has to deal with you, don't just focus on the pain. Don't just focus on what he's allowing into your life to get your attention and then not respond to it. Focus on getting yourself right with God. Focus on that. And there still may be some people in here that say, okay, we shouldn't reject and despise his discipline. And I know that we should respond to it and we shouldn't be weary of it. But why does God have to deal with us like that in the first place? And my response to that is, he's a loving God. How could he not deal with us like that? And that's how we're gonna move into the third and final point tonight. We as Christians, we as children of God, we should understand that our God corrects us with the love of a father. Okay. Please, let's go to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 7. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 7 says this: "If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? Even our main text says, even as a father, the son in whom he delighteth. Christian in here, if you're a child of God, you're a delight to God. Amen. If you're a child of God, you're a delight to God. He loves you. He wants the best for you. And you know, it's my belief that he would actually prefer blessing you and answering your prayers rather than having to discipline you all the time because you're disobedient and you're not listening to him and you're off doing your own thing. Okay? Let me ask you a question. Who in here's a parent? Who in here's a parent? Okay. Once a parent, always a parent. Who in here actually enjoys the process of disciplining your children? Not even one person. Yeah, I didn't think so. Who in here would much rather be in the position of being able to provide for your child and reward your child and give your child the thing that he or she wants or needs? Everyone. How do you think that it's any different with our Heavenly Father? Amen. How do you think it's any different? Matthew, this will be one of the last verses we go to. Let's go to the book of Matthew. And this is a verse, normally, people look at this verse, and it's a verse that people normally look to as a verse about prayer. But it's a beautiful illustration of what our relationship with God looks like from a child to a father. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, verse 11. 7-Eleven. Not the convenience store. It says, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask? God doesn't want to be punishing us all the time. God gets no enjoyment from that. God would much rather be in a position where he can provide, where he can be providing you the things that you want and need and blessing you. You know, my sister has a dog. That dog's name is Mako. I don't really like that dog. But my sister likes the dog, and so it's okay. So she loves that dog more than anything, and I'm pretty sure that she doesn't discipline that dog at all. So on a regular basis, it's a dog that jumps on people when they come in the door and jumps on the couch and does not come when you tell it to come. Instead, it runs out into the street and looks at you like... So, relating that back to the child of God, you know, you're not going to reward a child for being disobedient. You shouldn't reward a child for throwing a temper tantrum in Publix or lying to you. No matter how much you love that child, because it's not what's best for that child. Amen. You reward a child for lying to you, and you're raising that child to be a liar. You reward a child that steals something from the grocery store, you're training up that child to be a thief. Last time I checked, God does not want us to be liars or thieves. He's not going to reward us for that. So understand this, you know, your God, he loves you. And Proverbs tells us that if you're a child of God, that you are a delight to him. But our God is not gonna sit back, and he's not gonna let you He's not going to let the child of God run rampant and do his own thing, because that's not how a father should be. That's not how a parent should be. And he's our Heavenly Father, and he wants you to be in a place of righteousness, and he wants to be in a place where he can commune with you and that you can have a close relationship with him, because he loves you, because he is your Heavenly Father. So it's not a long lesson tonight. We're on the to finish up. When you recognize God's discipline in your life, you can react to it one of two ways. You can reject it and you cannot respond to it, or you can respond to it with a spirit that is understanding and a spirit that is mature about it. Don't despise God's discipline, church. Don't grow weary of it and not respond to it. Understand that God loves you, and he corrects us with the same love that a father corrects his son. God loves you more than any person on this earth does. And I'm pretty sure that no man on this earth has sent their son to die for you. And if you can show me someone that's done that, then maybe we can have a conversation. But I guarantee you that no one has. And he loves you more than anyone. Let's pray.